New Year's Resolutions Review, The Path to Goal Achievement, and Profitability Coach Mark Michael Lewis on this episode of Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. Welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, Your Life Fully Invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity and host, Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple on today's show with my good friend and profitability coach, Mark Michael Lewis, as we talk about the fact that we're 2 months into the new year, and how are you doing on those New Year's resolutions? We're going to check in with him today and find out why you're not achieving more with New Year's resolutions and discuss an incredible new path for goal achievement that you might not be familiar with to give you some more resources to help you become successful. Thank you so much for stopping by. I'm making success simple by helping people just like you overcome your personal and professional challenges to get out of debt, achieve financial freedom, and live the life of your dreams right now today with my biology-based approach to success. And one of those tools that we have for you at your disposal is our Unlock Your Wealth live show that we do Mondays on Facebook and Instagram at 9 a.m. Pacific. And we did our eighth key in the Keys to Riches financial philosophy this week, which is no seasonal exceptions. If you haven't had a chance to check it out, I encourage you to do so. If you are new to the show, welcome to the broadcast. The Keys to Riches is a baker's dozen of financial concepts that teach you how to think like the rich and be in control of your own money. It also gives you specific techniques to create or fix your credit, eliminate debt, save and invest, all while transforming your current financial habits into healthy money management skills. We do this 1 week at a time, one key at a time on our Unlock Your Wealth Today live show on Facebook and Instagram. So all you have to do is visit our show page on Facebook at Unlock Your Wealth TV or on Instagram, it's simply at Unlock Your Wealth. And I encourage you to download this week's show because we built on the concepts of breaking our budget last week. And once you break your budget and create that healthy savings and spending plan, the bigger challenge is, how do I avoid seasonal situations that could take me off my financial path? So make sure that you download that resource. Also, once you're done watching it, just inbox me for the free strategy for this week, which is your savings and your holiday savings and spending tracker. So be sure to request that. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, or a challenge you can't get around, just take the moment and inbox me, and I will address you confidentially, and perhaps we can help you tackle that challenge together. So that brings me to today's guest. I'm super excited, my dear friend and fellow coach, the profitability coach, no less, here at the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation, who works with high-level individuals and businesses to help you achieve more. If you're struggling with entrepreneurship, perhaps goal setting and achieving those goals could be getting in your way. We're going to have an amazing conversation with Mark because he has the answers to why you might not be achieving those New Year's resolutions and that there may be a better path to do so. So let's check in with Mark. Mark, welcome to Unlock Your Wealth Today, or I should say, welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today. It's so great to have you back on the show.
Yes, well, it's always a pleasure.
I'm so glad you're here because now we're almost 2 months into the first quarter of the new year, and I know, right? It's like, I'm still in November of last year trying to figure out, how did I turn this old at my birthday? But we're in the new year nonetheless, whether we're in denial about it or not. And a lot of us, well, what is it? Three quarters of the people that made New Year's resolutions have already broken them. So what is it that makes us set these resolutions and then not follow through with them?
It is fascinating. The one time of year that we as a culture have said, this is the time where we choose our future. We decide what we want. We're going to put our goals in place. Like, that's the one time when we make commitments at that time, they are laughable. It's a joke in advance. Oh, it's a New Year's resolution. Ha, ha, ha. Something that we're not going to do. So first of all, just most people suck at commitments. So that's why we actually have a special time of year to make them, because we avoid them most of the other times. So the fact that most people fail at them is just because most people suck at commitments. But that said, when we make commitments, most people set goals for the things that they want that they know that they can't achieve, like, or that they haven't been able to achieve. It's the thing that's difficult for them, which is fantastic. That's the purpose of goals. It orients you in a direction. But then they look at the goal out there and they lose track with the path to the goal. Right? And because they're disconnected from the goal, right? They think, oh, the goal is great. But then when it comes time to actually do the work to achieve the goal, it's not connected to the goal. Now they've got to do the thing and do the thing, and it's not directly connected to the goal. So one of the things I always suggest to my clients is when you set a goal, goals are good. Goals are great. They orient you in a direction. However, goals are not enough. What you need is a path to the goal. And if you're smart, you don't actually set a goal. You set a commitment to the path that leads to the goal, right? Because it's the path where all the action is, right? Even if you get your goal, let's say you set a goal, you work towards, you get it. How long are you actually in the state of achieving the goal? Like, it's there and then it's gone. And at best, you're going to choose another goal, right? Yeah, 99% of your time is spent on the path to the goal. The path is where all the action is. So most people fail because they're focused on the goal and not the path. And the path is the game. The path is where it's at. So I tell my clients, set goals, yes, because goals orient you. But the purpose of the goal is to define your path. And then commit to the path. Commit to master the path. And then not only will you get the goal, you'll go right through the goal to the goal behind the goal and the goal beyond that. And then you, when you master the path, you become the kind of person who can set and achieve goals. And then that opens up whole new worlds.
Mm-hmm. So I like how you've distinguished goals and the path to the goals and where the commitment really needs to be, which is on the path as opposed to the goal, because they are fleeting. Because once you achieve them, so unless it's something that you need to do all the time, you know, you're on to the next goal. So when we think about the goal and the path, and we think about the disconnect, because resolutions by their nature are focused on the end result. They're not focused on the path to get there. And, you know, I see all these books. Every time I log into Amazon, there's another book about setting goals. And, you know, so people, you know, I see these quotes of famous people. And then I see people, like, trying to be famous, distort the quote to meet their own kind of thing.
No, that's fantastic, right? Rather than creating my own brilliant quote, I'll change a word.
That's exactly what they're doing. But here's the dichotomy. So we're hearing two things about goals. And so because you've been able to distinguish the difference of focus, if you will, as opposed to be on the path as opposed to the goal itself, you hear these people talk about, oh, make your goals so big. And then you hear people say, make your goals so tiny. Which one is right?
What do they say? Actually, this is my own quote. I'm just making this up spontaneously as we go, that there are no unrealistic goals. There are only unrealistic time frames. I just created that spontaneously.
I like that. I thought you were going to be more... So
the size of the goal is just relative to the time frame. So yes, you want to have big enough goals that they actually inspire you. That's exactly how big a goal needs to be. It needs to be big enough to inspire you, preferably to scare you a little bit. Like, just a little trepidation. Not too much trepidation, but not too easy, right? So that's that. And then you need to put it in the right time frame, because the time frame allows you to build back the steps, right? And so I like making big goals with stages, What's the really big goal? And then what's the next big goal? And then what's the next big goal? What's the timeline that leads up to it? Because if you want to actually have your resolutions work, so first, you commit to the path, not to the goal. And then second, you actually put time in your calendar to make it happen. Right? So I like...
Oh, wait a minute. I have to set aside time to achieve this too?
There's a seminar company that likes to say, when you set a goal, you have to put a by when next to that goal. And I think that's got to be the stupidest thing ever. It's better to have a date on it than not. But I'm going to do it by next Thursday. What does that mean? That means next Thursday at 12 o'clock, you're going, oh my gosh, I haven't done anything for this. Right?
It's like freshness dating on your beard. So
let me give you what I call the witching hour. And I'll explain that.
The witching hour. Okay.
You set some goal. You want to lose weight. You want to make money. You want to connect with people. Whatever the goal is, whatever the resolution is, this year I'm going to do this thing. And maybe you set out where I want to be in a year, where I want to be in 6 months, 3 months, whatever. And then I like to ask five questions. The first question is, what specifically do you want? Actually define what you want at the various stages so that it's clear, so you know where you're going. Okay. Second question is, how specifically? How specifically are you going to get from here to there? What are you going to do? What are the steps? And that allows you to actually break the large goal into steps. And specifically, what are the next steps? What are the first steps that you're going to do? Right, and then you come up with a series of steps. The third question is, how long approximately? So you go through each of those steps and you ask, how long is each of those going to take? Oh, 30 minutes, 60 minutes, 120 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever it is. Right. So now you know what you're going to do, you know how you're going to do it, you know how long approximately each task is going to take. And the fourth question is, which? Right. Which 30 minutes are you going to use? Which 60 minutes are you going to do? Oh, and when I'm working with my clients, especially new clients, I'll say, oh, yeah, so the fourth question is which? They're like, which? Which 30 minutes are you going to use? They tend to say something like this. Oh, like you want me to actually put it in my calendar? Oh, yeah, I actually want you to do it. Right?
And there's the thought.
So if you take your process, you break it into tasks, you put times on those tasks, and you put each of those time blocks in your calendar, now you have a real path. And now you can say, did I hit my first goal? I've got 20 steps on this goal. Did I hit my first goal or not? Right? And I call it the witching hour, because it's W-H-I-C-H. Right? This is where you actually get real about what portion of your life and your energy, and your relationships, and your capital, and your intelligence, are you going to devote to this task? And there's a series of tasks. Once you actually put them in your calendar, now you've got a real plan. Now you can commit to the plan. Now you can master the path. And that's,
Well, that's exciting. I mean that gives somebody who's not been able to achieve goals in the past because they didn't have a plan. Now they have a plan. When we get back from the commercial break, I'd like to talk more about this and specifically how it applies to what you do as a profitability coach, because this is a money management show after all. So you are watching Mark Michael Lewis, profitability coach on Unlock Your Wealth Today. We'll be right back with more after this. Welcome back to Unlock Your Wealth Today, your life fully invested. I'm your purveyor of prosperity, Heather Wagenhals, and I'm making success simple with my dear friend and profitability coach, Mark Michael Lewis. And we were just talking about goal achievement, New Year's resolutions, and how to plan more effectively to get what we say we want in this lifetime. So we were talking before the break, and you separated out achievement or goal achievement specifically as committing not to the goals, but to the path itself to get there. And then you said to create this strategy of having these smaller goals, because I asked you, big goals versus small goals. So do you have any other thoughts about that when you're working with your clients? What comes up typically through the process of somebody trying to achieve their goals? What are some of the things that people, your clients, communicate to you as some of their challenges?
Well, you could say the difficulty, the bane of the entrepreneur, is that there are an infinite number of things that you can do and a finite amount of time. Right? I've never met an entrepreneur who at the end of the day goes, huh, I'm done. Can you believe that? I don't have anything left to do. Yes. Right? No, that's not how it is. There's always infinity further to go. And so the central question is prioritization. What do you say yes to? And even more importantly, what do you say no to?
That's the harder one. Yes is so easy. Yes, yes.
Yes, I want it all. I want it all. Yeah. So one of the things I like to teach my clients is, okay, so once you break your goals down into what specifically, how long approximately, and then which specifically, now you actually got a calendar that limits you. Right? You can actually take on a practice where if it's not on my calendar, I don't do it.
Wow. Wait, that has lots of ramifications.
Yes, it actually means that rather than reacting to your world, you are proactively choosing the world and the business that you want to create. Because when I work with clients, almost always the conversation is the same. It's like, oh, there's so many things that I want to do, but I always get caught up in the day-to-day. And at the end of the week, it's like, what did I really accomplish? All I did was put out fires. All I did was do bull something or other. I don't remember what's the word they put after that. Something. Right? And so saying no is the ultimate skill. It's being able to look at what's going on and say, okay, there's something I could do, right? Am I actually going to do it? Is it on track to my real goals? Because that's the one thing that an entrepreneur needs to do. They need to limit themselves to doing the things that only they can do. Where is their actual value at? And so when you start saying no, that forces you to delegate. It forces you to build reporting systems. It forces you to actually design a business rather than just to spontaneously respond to your business.
Yes, like putting down the fire hose because you're not the fireman.
Yes.
You got to find another fireman.
Yeah, you have to. And the truth is, the other thing that entrepreneurs always tell me is they're behind. There's stuff that they haven't taken care of. Yeah, exactly. What's that behind me? So since there are things that you haven't taken care of, if you say no, you can actually create space for other things. You can say no to things. You can postpone. So what do you say yes to? What do you say no to? This is the fundamental coaching process that I lead people through. It's like, okay, you want to do all of these things. Lay them out. Let's look at which ones are you not going to do realistically. Mm-hmm. The things that you're not going to do, get rid of them. The things that you don't want to do, right, you need to create structures to delegate them, okay, to get them off of your plate. You need to decide what it is that you want to say yes to and get clear about that so that you can prioritize everything around that. Stephen Covey used to use the metaphor of, for time management, like if you've got a jar and you've got some big rocks and some small rocks and some sand and water. If you put in the sand and water first, and the little rocks, there's no room for the big rocks. So you have to put in the big rocks first. Then you can put in the small rocks and they kind of go around. Then the sand, then the water. Right? What are your main priorities? And so you could say coaching isn't brain surgery. Although there are some tricky things that you can do when people have emotional, psychological issues, right? They set goals.
Or have reactions in the middle of your coaching session.
Yes, or have, yes.
Like today.
Ooh, that sounds like fun. Yeah, I mean, because human beings have, what are they called? Emotions. Emotions, yes. And sometimes those get in the way of our best laid plans.
Yes.
But for the most part, coaching is having people do the tough part of making the big choices, to carve out time so that they can actually decide what are the goals that they want to hit. Where do they want to be in 3 months, 6 months, 18 months, 36 months? Like, what are that? So let's look at what are the various parts of your business. Let's look at across. Okay, where in this part of your business, where do you want to be in 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, 18, 36? So you lay that out and then make commitments to it. And they're the kinds of commitments that you actually put in your calendar. You put the big rocks in, the things that you really want to do with your business. And then all the fires have to go around that.
Okay. So for example, let's say I'm one of those people that is a high anxiety kind of driver. And so I said no, but something else is just going to go whoop right back into that space. So is this helping me avoid letting something else slip in?
Yes. You have to put the things that you want to do in your calendar. Right. You have to decide what is it that you want to do. Like, if you weren't just treading water, what is it that you want to build? Right, and then to put those pieces in your calendars as commitments, as appointments, and then you fit in the other things around that. And that process of confronting how much we allow what is urgent to overwhelm what we really want to do.
Mm-hmm. Oops. Separating the urgent from important.
Yes, in the classic terms. Yes. How do you focus on that? That's a large part of what coaching is about. It's getting my clients to remember what's really important, because they get so caught up in the day-to-day that they don't focus on the one thing or the three things that are really going to make a difference, such that 3 months from now, 6 months from now, they actually have a new world to work in. And that's you could say that's the heart of the coaching. And then you said goals. I like to say that goals create obstacles. Right? For example, we're talking. The fact that I can't touch you is not an obstacle until I make that a goal. The goal actually creates the obstacles. So when we set goals, the bigger the goal, the bigger the obstacles. How do we deal with the obstacles emotionally? That's the other part of coaching.
Right. Well, is it about managing our responses or about creating different responses to the same stimulus that would typically take us off track?
Yes. Yes, it is. Right. First, we have to manage our existing responses. Right. If we have a pattern in place, we have to figure out, okay, how are we going to deal with that pattern? And then second, now let's get inside your skull. Let's get inside your brain and actually rewire it so you don't have those initial responses anymore. If you've got a response that isn't serving you, we need to get into your psychology and rewire that. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's the more psychological side of the coaching. So first set goals, then you deal with the obstacles. The obstacles that you can't just, you could say, focus your way around. Then we do deep work, do trippy psychological stuff. It's fantastic. That before I got into business coaching, I did deep psychological work. I essentially, my entire practice was built by taking on the cases that my comrades, my peers, couldn't handle. They go, Mark, this is too intense. You take on this person. So I was dealing with really deep psychological work. But it just wasn't as fun as working with business people who, when they set goals that are big enough, confront their own psychological limitations. Right? It's much better to deal with someone who's competent, has great goals, and is encountering their limitations in response to their goals, rather than people who are just overwhelmed by their life. Just not as much fun.
Well, you know, and I think that you can do, because of the way, you know, our critical filters in our brain works and the difference between what our subconscious wants and what our conscious wants, and as that kind of battles, like if you're just dealing with the problem itself of whatever it might be, let's say it's tardiness, you know, or, you know, overloving somebody or impulse spending. But when we have something to focus on, we can address it in like a side strategy end run around it as a part of the process to achieving whatever it is that we say we desire. One of the things that I see in my coaching practice, and this is not always with the business people that are just success driven, but when it comes to the planning aspect of creating wealth. And we can apply that to other intangible, you know, or abstract type of goals, because when we say we want to lose weight, there's a number. We can figure out that. And ideally with our money, there's a number, but you define wealth differently than I do, differently than the guy down the street does, or our spouses, or our children, or our parents. Everybody has their own version of what wealth is. How do you use this strategy to achieve goals when the goals are somewhat abstract?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay, so this comes back to don't commit to the goal, commit to the path of mastery. Commit to mastering the path to the goal. So let's say that you want wealth. Okay, what does wealth mean to you? We can look at it in terms of money, in which case there's a number. Fantastic. That's one of the dimensions of wealth. And so we set that number. Fantastic. Now we've got that number. We can break it back into the goals, all those things. But then the question is, who are you? Like, what is the character that you are? What's the story that you're telling that leads to that goal? Who is the person who has that goal? Where does that goal lead? And so let's take this, you could say, a level deeper. So we've got the goals, we've got the obstacles, we've got the psychological challenges of moving towards them, we've got the use of your calendar to actually get real about how you're going to use your time and your energy and your relationships, your capital, and your intelligence. Boom. Okay. Now, who are you? What is the story that you're telling about this thing? Because around wealth, for example, one of the things I always have to deal with my clients is, okay, here's what you want. Why? Why do you care? Who are you? Because most people, their self-concept is inconsistent with their wealth goals. Otherwise, they would already be on track to them. Right? Their self-concept isn't that. They've set a goal which is not them. But they haven't actually dealt with, so who are they going to have to become in order to meet those goals? What are the beliefs of the person who naturally achieves those goals? For example, you're probably familiar with Dave Ramsey. I believe he's kind of down your way. Yeah, heard of him. Okay. So one of the things that I notice about what he works on with people is to shift your mindset from someone that money happens to them into someone who is in control of their money, right? At the end of the month, it's like, where did your money go? If you don't know, that's a question of who you understand yourself to be. That's self-concept. You need to build not only a path to the wealth and the specific steps, but you need to build a story of how you move from being the schlep you are about money and wealth right now, right? Wherever you are right now, probably, again, and I love this word, it sucks compared to where you could be, where you want to be, right? So what is the path in your own self-concept to go from where you are to someone who actually cares and pays attention and does the analysis and manages their books and has a budget and sets the goals and keeps their focus? Who are you? What is the story you're telling about yourself? So in the process of setting the goals, I like to say that the goals are all plot points in a story. What is the story that you're telling about wealth? Right? Where were you? Where are you now? And what changed such that, now you're going to grow and grow and grow until you're the person who just naturally creates that kind of wealth? Right? Because if you don't change who you are, you're probably not going to change your wealth.
Well, that's the thing. You know, whatever you're doing now got you where you are. But if you want something different, you must be something different.
Yes. And what is the story of that? That's its own set of goals. So right now, here's how I think about goals. When I think about my budget, I look at it and I go, I don't want to do that. Or when I think about investing, I go, that's beyond me. Or when I think about, I'm going to build a business, but when I think about sales, I go, I'm not a salesperson. Okay, right? Well,
right.
If you're going to create the things you want, you need to look at your budget and you go, I master my budget. I'm someone who knows what they spend and feels great about it. I'm someone who has chosen every dollar I spend. And yes, okay, if you take on that way of being, that character, if you take on that story, well, then budgeting's going to be easy. And you're going to get better and better and better at it.
Right.
If you have the idea, oh, I don't know how to invest, investing's complicated, it's like, no, investing's like everything else. I'm going to learn all the pieces I need to learn. I'm going to take on Heather as my coach, and Heather's going to teach me. She's already got the best practices. Don't try to reinvent the wheel around something so critical. Like, learn the best practices and master every part of it until you're the person who masters it. Now, I'm the character who's in the process of mastering money. I master investments. I'm the one that 6 months from now, 18 months from now, 36 months from now, if we're at a party and someone says some financial term, I'm the one who knows how to define it, knows how to use it, who has practical strategies. I'm that person.
Yes.
Ah, okay. Now, what is the path from here to there? Mm-hmm. Mapped out over 3, 6, 12, 18 months. What does that look like? Oh, I'm a business person, but I don't like sales.
And that's always the myth. As a sales trainer, I've always thought that's so funny because we're selling stuff every minute. We're selling our spouses on where to go to supper. We're selling our kids on why they need to do their homework. We're selling our friends to, you know.
Selling ourselves on whether or not we're actually going to do what's in our calendar.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Influence, persuasion, language, focus, mm-hmm. awareness, consciousness is sales. They're not different. Mm-hmm. And if you're in business, what is business? Business is sales. If you're good, the only question is, it's not, am I going to do sales or not? It's just, am I going to be any good at it?
Right.
Right. Why not become awesome at it?
Exactly.
Why not become someone who, in complete integrity, without sacrificing any of your values or ethics, like looks someone in the eye and says, here is what I have to offer you. Here is what it's going to mean to you. And here's what it means if you don't do it. Right? Most people don't like to sell because to sell means to ask someone else to actually make a decision. And people don't like to make decisions because, oh my gosh, if I make a decision, I might make a wrong decision. And so they just avoid making decisions. And so they make crappy decisions.
Or they internalize it. They don't want to be rejected. And the problem with that mentality is you're already at no if they haven't said yes yet. So you're not losing anything. But people, they get all caught up in that risk of somebody rejecting them. And they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting your product or service. And it might not be a rejection. It just might be a request for more information. They're saying no because they don't understand why they should say yes. And that's your job.
That's your job as a business person. Your job is to have something of value that you bring to the world and you explain to them why it's of value, and then they buy it and their life is better. You win, they win, that's business. If you don't bring it to the world, then think of all the people who aren't going to get the benefit of what you have to offer. Don't be mean to them. Like, step up. Show up for your future clients. Like, make the phone call so that afterwards, the person can call you back and say, thank you so much. This made the difference for me. Mm-hmm. Right. Now, what if you were to say, I'm going to be that person? Not the person who says, oh, I'm not sales. That's not me. Except, no, I am the person who masters the communication process, who is bold, right, and risks other people feeling uncomfortable because you're asking them to make a decision,
right,
who risks them in their discomfort treating you poorly, looking down on you, shaming you in some way. Yeah, I'm willing to risk that in service of my future clients. I'm not going to back down. I'm going to take that on because the future client who I help is counting on me. And if I don't do it, they're not going to get the value I have to add them.
Right.
I'm going to be that person. Ah, okay. Over the course of the next 3 months, 6 months, 18 months, how do you go from who you are right now to that person?
Right.
So you don't just set the goal of wealth. You set the goal of mastering the path to wealth, which means becoming the person for whom wealth is second nature.
I love that. I mean, I love all that you've shared today. And if folks want to get on the path with you, if they're really excited about what you've shared and want to go further, how can people find your resources and be a part of your coaching programs? Where do they go?
TheProfitabilityCoach.com. Just www.TheProfitabilityCoach.com. You find me and then you explore, you see what you like, right? You watch some of my videos. You decide, is this something that you want? And if you're serious, then you email me. You have a conversation.
Outstanding. Well, thanks so much for dropping by the show again. It's been a pleasure to have you on. And for those of you without a pencil, never fear. UnlockYourWealthToday.com is here where you can visit Mark's show page, get the links to all of his resources, and so much more. For the maestro of moolah, Michael Terry, I'm Heather Wagenhals. Now go out and unlock your wealth today.
UnlockYourWealthToday.com is produced by Heather Wagenhals and the Unlock Your Wealth Foundation. UnlockYourWealthToday.com and its affiliates are copyrighted 2018 with all rights reserved. For more information on the Keys to Riches Financial Wellness Series, please visit our website at www.UnlockYourWealthToday.com.